coming up on Economics Explored.
People have tasted working from home a little bit more, being able to have that flexibility to pick their children up from school and, you know, sort of come and go a little bit more. And I think maybe people have taken the time and reflected upon that and, you know, are looking for changes in the way that they're working.
Welcome to the Economics Explored podcast, a frank and fearless exploration of important economic issues. I'm your host, Gene Tunney. I'm a professional economist based in Brisbane, Australia, and I'm a former Australian Treasury official. This is episode 116 on the Great Resignation. As has been widely reported, in 2021 we've seen record numbers of people leaving jobs in the US and the UK. What's going on? And will we see it in other countries such as Australia? Joining me this episode to chat about the Great Resignation are some of my neighbours in the serviced offices that I work out of here in Brisbane. Anthony Burtz and Louise Gibson of Remedy Resourcing. Anthony is Managing Director of Remedy Resourcing and Louise is Director of the firm's legal recruitment practice. Being in the recruitment business, which means they are regularly speaking with employers and job seekers, I thought that Anthony and Louise would have some valuable insights into the Great Resignation, so I invited them onto the program. Please check out the show notes for links to materials mentioned in this episode and for any clarifications. You can find the show notes via your podcasting app or at our website, economicsexplored.com. If you have any questions, comments or suggestions relating to this episode or to previous ones, then please either record them in a message via SpeakPipe, you can find the link in the show notes, or email them to me via contact@economicsexplored.com. Righto, now for my conversation with Anthony and Louise from Remedy Resourcing on the Great Resignation. Thanks to my audio engineer Josh Krotz for his assistance in producing this episode. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to this special edition of Economics Explored on the Great Resignation. I'm pleased to say that I'm joined by some colleagues of mine at the Johnson, at the serviced offices at the Johnson Hotel in Brisbane, Australia. I'm joined by Louise Gibson and Anthony Burtz of Remedy Resourcing. Louise and Anthony, good to have you on the show.
Yeah, good to be here.
Excellent. Yes. Looking forward to chatting with you about the Great Resignation that we're all hearing about. So we know that this is certainly an issue in the US and the UK.
Yep.
Now, what I'll do to kick off the conversation is I'll just show some slides, some charts showing this phenomenon in the UK and US. And if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, I will put these in the show notes. Okay, so let's have a look at those charts. So the first chart that I'm showing here shows a comparison of the resignation or actually job changes and US quits rate. And this has been prepared by one of my contacts at Macro Bond Financial, so that's a data service. And that's showing that these rates, which are basically capturing those voluntary separations or changes in labour force circumstances, they're at all-time highs in the latest month for which those data are available. So we're speaking in November 21, so it could be related to October. I'll put that in the show notes. So we've got these record or all-time high rates of people leaving their current jobs. And there could be a variety of reasons for that, which we'll go into in a moment. Now, this is a phenomenon we're seeing in the UK and the US. We haven't seen it in the data in Australia yet. If we see what's happening in Australia, the latest data point is for February 2021, and that actually shows we're at a low in terms of the historical data for Australia. But the data for Australia are on an annual basis, and that captures that period when that's the pandemic year up to most of it'll captures most from March 2022, February 2021. So it may be that we haven't seen the pickup in resignations yet. We just don't have the data. But I'd be keen to chat with you about what you're seeing in the local labour market and whether there are any signs of this great resignation, which appears to be something we are seeing in advanced economies in the UK, such as the UK and the US, and therefore something we might expect to see here. So keen to chat with you about that. Righto. So with that chart I just showed, that's a chart of employed persons who changed jobs during the year in Australia, the proportion of total employment, and that's gone down to, I've got that figure here, I think it's 7.5%, and at times it's been over 10%. So back in the 70s and in the 80s, it's at one time it was almost, in the late 80s, it was almost 20%. Actually, that could be because of the recession back then. Yeah. I'll have to check the exact data. But that's the chart that Mark Wooden used in his article in The Conversation, Australia's Great Resignation is a Myth. We are changing jobs less than ever before. So he thinks it's a myth, but he's looking at data from February 2020. So, okay, but we know it's happening in the US and UK, and I'm keen to have a conversation about that. So let's start the conversation. Okay, so Louise and Anthony, this Great Resignation, do you have any reflections on whether we're seeing this in Australia as well or in New Zealand where you also work?
Not at the moment. We're certainly seeing a rise in salaries in multiple industries. But I think because we're behind the curve of the pandemic, we're not there yet. So we've still got a little bit of time to see if this actually comes to fruition.
Right. Okay. So it's something that in the US and the UK, so they've been through the worst part of the pandemic and they've largely opened up and there's a lot of, there are a lot of vacancies in their economies. Is that what you're saying? So we're still behind the curve?
I just specialise in the legal market.
Okay.
What I'm seeing with some of the legal firms is that Gilbert and Tobin, for example, announced just this week that they're going to increase staff pay by 10% and they're going to be extending parental leave to 26 weeks.
Right.
There's a lot of sort of drive, I guess, from some of the law firms to sort of bolster their sort of salaries and stuff, because I personally think the salaries in the legal market the last few years have been quite stagnant. So there's more and more announcements coming out. I think King & Wood Mallesons, they put something out in the press recently. There was a statement put out by Ashurst as well, doing the pay parental leave, regardless of whether you're a male or a female. So I think there's sort of measures being put in place by some of these firms to counteract what might be looming, okay. I guess.
Okay, that's interesting. So I should have asked first, what does Remedy Resourcing do? So you're a recruitment firm and you specialise in the legal sector?
Yeah, largely professional services. So okay. Kane and I, we both specialise in the legal market for the southeast of Queensland.
Yeah.
Mark, who you've obviously bumped into, he pretty much mirrors what I do for the accountancy firm. So the big four accountancy firms right the way down to your, you know, one, two partner firm, boutique firms. Anthony's sort of
Technology and sales, so technical sales and, I guess anything technology. We've also got Ben in New Zealand who specialises in engineering consultancy over there. So, that's us in a nutshell.
Yeah, okay. So you're dealing with some pretty big employers of professionals then.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're likely to be getting a good read on what's going on in that labour market. So that's really, really useful. Okay. Now, it'd be good to sort of talk about what could be driving this great resignation phenomenon that we're seeing. And I've been doing some digging in terms of what they're saying in the US. There was a great article I found in the Washington Post by Carla Miller. And the headline is Micromanaged and Disrespected, Top Reasons Workers Are Quitting Their Jobs in the Great Resignation. So some readers said they quit because of acute health concerns during the pandemic.
Well, others, being sort of public facing or sort of health concerns in that regard.
Or even if they have to go into an office and work with others, perhaps. I think we know that, I think I've seen some other evidence that it is, it's mid-career people who have the highest resignation rates, and also, resignation is the highest in the tech and healthcare industries, I guess, for different reasons.
Yeah, burnout, that kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe if you're in healthcare, you are worried about exposure. Yeah. So certainly.
And they've been working, especially in the US and the UK, they've been working some extreme hours in the healthcare sector.
I think, we're seeing it across all industries though, right? People are sort of reflecting on, what's important, and they're spending a lot more time with their families throughout lockdowns, and maybe the job they've been in for a while, that, there's no fulfillment in what they're actually doing for a living. So it's really giving them that time and to reflect on, do I need to make a change?
What's there's been stimulus.
People have money in the pocket as well because they've not been spending money sort of on foreign holidays. There's been nothing to buy because of the bottlenecks in supply. So people feel more confident to use that money to fund themselves, making a change of career maybe. So, that's just obviously one reason.
I think that's certainly part of it. So one of the other points that this Carla Miller in the Washington Post made is that others described a long simmering but barely tolerable state of discontent in which the pandemic abruptly cranked up the heat, making the situation jump or boil. Some people set off on new career paths. Others decided to speed up their retirement by a few months or years. So does that all... that all resonates with you? You think this might...
I think some of the sort of things that Kane and I were seeing, in particular with some of the larger law firms, is that traditionally people were expected to be in the office. Last person to leave was viewed as a bit of a positive thing, I guess. But people have tasted working from home a little bit more, being able to have that flexibility to pick their children up from school and, sort of come and go a little bit more. And I think maybe people have taken the time and reflected upon that and, are looking for changes in the way that they're working. I personally work from home, at least 2 or 3 days a week, and I actually get more done than when I travel into the city.
Right, okay. So, well, this is a good thing to talk about just briefly, this working from home phenomenon. Mm. So you're actually finding that you can do a lot at home and your productivity doesn't suffer.
Yeah, my productivity actually goes up because I am a bit of a natterbox.
Yeah, I put more weight on because the fridge is there.
But do you find you need that? I mean, everyone's talking now about the hybrid work environment.
Yeah.
Do you find you need that?
I do need that. Yeah. I have done it 5 days a week from home back in the UK before working from home was even a thing. But personally, I like to come into the office probably a couple of times a week, do client meetings, get down in the city. But then I have my, productive days at home where I sort of bash through my emails, get through some calls and some admin. And yeah, that kind of thing is quite helpful. And being, a parent of two children that are both sort of one's in school, one's in daycare, it just works for us as a family unit to sort of have a little bit of flexibility. I actually find that I'm more productive having that hybrid model.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's good to have flexibility. So I think that's right. And some people have been able to, they can manage if you're well set up at home and you can.
That's the issue. Some people aren't. I mean, people that live, for example, in Sydney or Melbourne that live in an apartment, two bedroom apartment, their child might be in one room. And where does the setup go? So that can be tricky for some families and people that have got a smaller base, I guess.
Exactly. So can I ask you about? It looks like there's a lot of job vacancies at the moment in Australia, as there is in other parts of the world. Mm. You deal with employers, so you find jobs for employers, but I guess you also have people on your books. Are you finding people who want jobs? Are you finding that there's more inquiries from people contemplating a career change or a change in their position?
I guess our clients pay us to find people with experience.
Yeah.
So, do you know, we got a call from a particular candidate who wanted to change careers. It'd be very hard for us to sort of facilitate that for them because there's no exchange of money between a recruitment firm to get somebody.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You know, to change career. So,
certainly
I've seen it in the market more recently with lawyers wanting to step out of law. You know, people just doing a total 360 on their careers.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I saw something that Seeker put out that there are more vacancies now than there was in 2019 actually advertised on Seek, which I thought was quite interesting.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously in some cities we've only just come out of lockdown. But yeah, there's certainly more vacancies. And I would say for, you know, some of the candidates that we see, traditionally they may not have gone to a top tier firm. The top tier firms are considering candidates that necessarily don't have the high GPAs that they used to require. So there seems to be a bit of a shift in the sort of candidates that they're considering now as well. Yeah, so it's an interesting place.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's one way they can adjust to
the shortage.
Yeah, yeah, and putting up wages to try and attract people who are marginally attached to the workforce. I mean, with this great resignation, we seem to be talking about people who have options, aren't we? In many cases, so they have the luxury of being able to, if they're not happy with their job, they can.
Yep.
They can just say, oh, well, not going to work there anymore. I'll take some time off and write a book or whatever. I'll focus on my YouTube channel or whatever people are doing these days. Okay, so let's have another look at what some other people are saying about the great resignation. There was a great quote from one of my favourite economists, Paul Krugman, and this is quoted in this article by Mark Wooden on the Great Resignation, where he says it's not happening in Australia. But remember, that was for data in February 2021, so we have to wait and see what actually happens. Writing in the New York Times, Nobel Prize-winning economist Paul Krugman suggests America is witnessing a new form of worker revolt in the wake of years of substandard conditions. Workers are using growing job openings to look for better or less demanding jobs, or are simply retiring early. So I guess we have people retiring early. That's part of the story. People unhappy at work. One other aspect in Australia I think is relevant. Is it the fact that we've had all of these temporary migrants? Have people left and gone back overseas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly in the hospitality sector. I think I saw something the other day about a pot washer in Sydney being offered $50 an hour. You know, because usually the people that would, you know, typically do those roles are international students or, you know, that kind of thing. So, it's kind of interesting. Some of the typical jobs that, you know, people from overseas that might do. And again, you know, the fruit picking role, you know, that's a real issue at the moment.
Oh, exactly. Yes, yes. So what are you telling employers, are you giving employers any advice on how to cope with this great resignation, or what they should be thinking about? Maybe not advice, but what they should be thinking about.
Well, I think it's not a one silver bullet. So you can't just I guess throw money at the problem. You've got to look at it sort of holistically in terms of
I think cultural reviews in the organisation.
Cultural reviews. Salary plays into that, career progression, really understanding what your team, do you know, what their, I guess their ambitions in life are and their family situation. So
I think some external sources are looking at conducting cultural reviews as well with all staff. So, you know, from, you know, your administration all the way up to, you know, the senior C-level people, and what are the pain points for everybody within the organisation. The only sort of difficulty you'll have with those sorts of things is that it does need to be done by an external source, because sometimes employees can be a little bit afraid to sort of really speak the truth about some of the cultural problems that, you know, some of these organisations have. But I think that's potentially a way that, you know, employers can deal with, you know, what seems to be the deep-seated issue for a lot of people in the workplace.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Right. What have I found here? There's another paper I found on from Harvard Business Review, What's Driving the Great Resignation? And, I mean, this is the point that they make the point that it's highest among mid-career employees, a few factors driving that. It's possible that the shift to remote work has led employers to feel that hiring people with little experience would be riskier than usual. Okay, so I think they're trying to argue that these mid-career employees are going to be more highly sought after, and they're picking up on that. So that's one idea. It's also possible many of these mid-level employees may have delayed transitioning out of their roles due to the uncertainty caused by the pandemic, and now they've got the opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the point about the employees reaching breaking points after months and months of high workloads. And one thing this article says is employers must take a data-driven approach to improving retention. These trends highlight the importance of taking a data-driven approach to determining not just how many people are quitting, but who exactly has the highest turnover risk, why people are leaving, and what can be done to prevent it. The details will look different in every organisation, but there are three steps that can help any employer more effectively leverage data to improve employee retention. So quantify the problem, identify the root causes, develop tailored retention programs. So that's an article in the Harvard Business Review, Who is Driving the Great Resignation, by Ian Cook. Okay. Do you have any thoughts on that, Louise? I'll just move that around.
I think, you know, just as I touched on before, some of the reviews internally are quite important to sort of establish what seems to be the bugbear for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I think from what we're seeing, we're not seeing mass resignations yet. Going back to Anthony's point, I don't know if it's because we're behind the curve with everything else. Whether or not it's coming, I don't know. But, you know, I'm certainly seeing signs of, you know, some of these employers starting to push the salaries up. And as I say, they've been quite static for a while. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you know, the traditional reasons why people move out their roles would be sort of salary culture, relocation, you know, amongst other things. And those problems don't go away. And because of the lockdowns and, you know, the non-movement of people, you know, those particular problems haven't gone away and probably compounded a little bit more.
Mm.
And now with the reopening of Australia, then, you know, we could see it happen for that reason.
Mm.
Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no, I think certainly some of the sort of newly qualified lawyers, newly qualified accountants, I know there's a lot of scope for those particular sort of level of candidates to go overseas.
Yeah.
So I think because everyone's been, you know, stuck in Australia for the last couple of years, usually in your early 20s, it's the rite of passage to go to the UK and work in London or somewhere like that.
Yes,
so
yes.
I think that's going to be an issue for us over the next coming 12 months. I think we're going to see a lot of newly qualified accountants, newly admitted lawyers, start to, you know, go over to the UK and the US just to experience working in a different country. And I think the fact that we've been effectively, you know, stuck in Australia won't help that either.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I think that's a really good point. Yeah, because we are behind the curve, aren't we? Like, just thinking about us in Queensland, we've had a remarkable pandemic, really. I mean, we haven't seen it here.
Nope.
I mean, we've seen a few cases, there have been a few outbreaks, and we've been, you know, we've had a maybe five or six lockdowns. I can't remember, but they, other than the first one,
they were really
short. And
yeah.
I mean, we've been lucky, and most of the year we've hardly noticed it. But with the interstate borders opening up on 17 December, we're going to see more cases, and who knows?
Yep.
Who knows?
Our hope is that we'll start getting some relocators from Sydney and Melbourne. That want to come up to Queensland. Obviously, house prices, you know, plays a factor in that. But we're quite hopeful that we'll start getting, you know, more applicants from interstate. So whether that, you know, comes to fruition or not.
Well, I think that's a big part of the story in the US as well. I don't know about the UK, but just people relocating. So during the pandemic, you're thinking about, okay, I mean, is this job right for me? But also you're thinking about, is where I'm living right for me, this situation? Is this the right lifestyle for us? And maybe, people in Sydney and Melbourne are thinking, well, oh, this is terrible. I mean, particularly in Melbourne where they endured, 260 days of
lockdown in the world.
Yeah, unbelievable. And so Brisbane and Queensland more broadly are going to be looking quite attractive to those people.
Yeah.
And we've already seen that pick up in interstate migration to Queensland. So net interstate migration in the 12 months to might have been either end of March or June was 31,000, if I remember.
Yes.
So it's the highest it's been in ages. So, we are starting to see that people wanting to have a change of circumstances. One thing I'm wondering is, to what extent are employers really, really thinking about what makes their workforce happy? Are they talking to their workforce? I mean, particularly when people leave and finding out, okay, why did you leave? I mean, my impression is that they're probably not doing that as much as they should be.
Yeah, agreed. And I think we're seeing more counter offers. So when someone's offered a role to go to company A, the company that they're already sat in, will throw money at the problem when they resign. So we're seeing a lot of that. I mean, that's always been a bit of an issue anyway in recruitment as a whole. But I think we will be seeing a lot more of that because they need to retain some of those experienced staff members.
Right. So, okay.
We've seen I guess counter offers, as we call them in the industry.
Yeah.
Some significant ones.
Yeah.
Right.
In terms of salary bumps, that kind of thing. You know, what do you want out of this? You know, what can I do to retain you?
Too little, too late.
Yeah.
That's what I would have thought. Yeah. Yes.
But,
yes.
You know, if you're a 26, 27 year old, person that is trying to get on the property ladder, a 20 grand, 25 grand increase is quite attractive when you know the job inside out. So, people do take those counter offers and decide to stay where they are.
That some do.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Or they're offered promotions or, different things. I deal with a lot of people at quite a senior level in the legal market. So something I'm seeing, equities being offered to salary partners, for example, where it hadn't been before.
Right.
So,
it's funny. I mean, it shows that there can be a lack of communication between employers and employees and just maybe employers are thinking, well, okay, if they're happy to work at that rate and, I'm not really, it's good for me, I don't have to pay them anymore, that's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
But they're not, they don't realise that deep down that person's thinking, I'm not being paid enough.
Yeah.
So, I guess.
Particularly with the, the rising house prices, inflation, that's going to play a massive role in people leaving their roles. I mean, you can make them happy at work, but ultimately, if we keep seeing this rise in, in living costs, then people, it's more about survival, right, than any of the other factors that we mentioned, sort of culture, location. They need to pay the mortgage. There's a rate increase as well. So, and they're overcommitted because they have bought at the peak. So that's going to drive this sort of great resignation or be one of the key factors, I'm presuming. But
potentially.
Yeah.
One thing I'm interested in is with these packages, these salary packages that are put together, to what extent are other benefits important other than the salary, such as car leases or the general sort of workplace environment? We all hear about some of these Silicon Valley firms which have pool tables.
Ping pong and
that sort of thing. And, places where people can chill out pods or whatever.
It depends on the individual. I guess those larger organisations, people – again, it's all changing because people are working from home, right? Mm. What's your take on it?
I think the main factor for most people is the top one seems to be salary, doesn't it?
Yes.
And then, other financials play a part of that car park, for certain level candidates. Car park is is, you know, a bit of a coup, isn't it? You know, if you can grab a car park space down on Eagle yeah. Street. You know, I think what's always been, you know, a focus certainly for the female work demographic is, you know, can I achieve promotion and still have, you know, a family, you know?
Yes.
So I think firms that are adopting a, you know, flexible view on people being able to, you know, leave earlier, have that flexible working arrangement is a big driving force of the conversations I have.
And so this great resignation is prompting employers to be thinking about these things.
All these things.
Possibly they should have been thinking about earlier.
Yeah.
But it's just
prompted
that. I forget who it was. I think it might be Scott Galloway, who's a professor of marketing at NYU. He said what's happened with the pandemic is it's just accelerated trends that were happening before.
Yes.
It just provided the big push and, the push to working from home and, I guess, people reevaluating their lives and, you know, having sea changes or tree changes, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I suppose we're seeing a big influx of people moving to the sunny coast, for example, and the sunny coast house prices going up like 26% or something crazy.
Right.
And that's because a lot of the southerners are able to work from home in, you know, some of these, you know, consulting style Big Four firms, for example, and they can be based up there, maybe fly down to Brisbane, Sydney or Melbourne once a week and still have, you know, that flexibility. So I think, you know, that seems to be driving people.
Yeah. And so in the US, people would be moving to places like, I know that there's been a bit of a movement to Texas, Austin in particular, I guess people, well, even Tennessee and what else, Florida. Perversely, people are leaving California, which I think has got something to do with possibly the governments there. I don't know, but people have been leaving California for other states, so it hasn't been getting all of the people that it once did. Although that's what I've heard.
That's interesting. So,
I mean, once it was a very attractive place, but now it's not as popular, and the places that are it's other states that are popular, from what I can tell. Possibly because of lower taxes or I don't know to what extent DeSantis's approach to COVID has affected that.
Is
that a more relaxed approach?
Yeah. Is this the companies or is this the actual workforce that is moving?
I don't know. That's a good question. Could be both. I know that people like Joe Rogan the podcaster.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm getting a biased impression because people who are prominent on YouTube or in podcasting have moved.
Yeah.
So people like Joe Rogan moved, trying to remember if he's somewhere in Texas. I may have that wrong. I think Ben Shapiro's gone to Tennessee. Tim Ferriss moved to Austin a few years ago. He was previously in San Francisco. You've got Ryan Holiday there in outside of Austin. So you've got all of these influential people who are going to Texas. Whereas once the place to go was to California. Right. So it just illustrates that in a dynamic economy, you're going to have some regions thriving or prospering at one time and then others, they're the ones that are prospering and they're more attractive, and you need to have that movement of people to get the most of efficient and optimal outcomes, I suppose. So, as an economist, I think that's a beautiful thing. So, okay. What else? That's possibly enough from me at the moment, other than just saying that, this great resignation, it's not just something that's happening in one country, because it looks like we're seeing it both in the UK and the US to a large extent. We haven't seen it in Australia yet, but possibly it could come. You could start seeing it in places like New Zealand. I'm not sure what's happening in Canada. I'll have to have a look at the data. Well, one thing I should ask about, do you have any feeling for what's going on in the UK? I mean, are people moving out of London to go to other cities or to the country?
I guess I speak to a lot of friends over there who are sort of mid-career people.
Yeah.
And they've made the shift out of that particular career. So there's a lot of don't know. I mean, you're British as well, so.
I don't actually have a good insight into what the legal market looks like there, but it would be interesting to see, as I said before, when or if the junior newly admitted people go to London, if we'll get a bit of an influx when the borders are open here.
Yeah.
It, you know, as a receiving end, but I don't know, it's not something I'm that sort of across, really.
No, that's okay. I was just wondering. I'll see if I can dig up anything and put it in the show notes. One thing I guess I'm sort of thinking about is what's the long-term impact on the desire to live in cities, okay? Because, I mean, I think Brisbane, where we are, is okay because it's pretty low density, right?
Yeah.
But if you're living in London or in New York City and you're catching the tube or the New York City subway.
Pretty miserable.
I mean, right. And, I mean,
we complain about the traffic here, but.
Yeah.
Look, I think with technology. Now everything's, you know, the emergence of the cloud and, you know, the apps, people have really powerful work instruments and where they can work from home. So, I mean, we're in a totally different technological space at the moment.
Yeah.
But that's not really been, that wasn't really adopted until now. And it's taken, you know, not fully, should I say, but I can foresee, you know, in the next, you know, 5 years, I mean, for mental health, we do need a workplace. We do need to get together, you know, and it's not, everybody can't just live, you know, live and work from home. Just for, obvious reasons, collaboration, mental health. But
yeah, exactly. I was just thinking before we go, one point I'd like to make, and I think is that it does emphasise a need for really good broadband connections, like all of us working from home, right? So
and telephone, you know, because we're I won't say what network we're on, but we're out in Sanford Valley, and it's appalling at times, you know. And I'll be trying to finalise a you know, a placement over the phone during the pandemic. Yeah. I've
got
the kids,
carrier pigeon, though,
we've got kids screaming in the background at home, you know, and then the reception completely drops out, you know, and it's like, oh, you know. So, but it does make you appreciate. Well, I mean, it happens in this hotel at times, doesn't it? That the internet drops out and everyone's like freaking out.
That's right. So. Yeah,
Elon Musk a few days ago. So Elon Musk is sorting that out with the internet. So have you heard about that?
No. Tell me more.
Yeah. So he's putting a big mesh network of satellites, so you can get 5G anywhere.
Oh, good. Okay. Well. Yeah. I think that's great because it really is an essential service now. It's a utility. We really need to make sure it happens because, like, I guess I'm fairly lucky because, except for when it goes down here at the Johnson, but I live in Spring Hill. I live in Spring Hill and the internet is great, right, because you're so close to the city. And but I know in some regions it's not as great as that. And and the funny thing is, I mean, you think the US, like one of the world's most advanced economies, it would have brilliant internet, but like I'm watching people on YouTube and they're just cutting out due to poor broadband. So there are some regions in the in the US that are that just have terrible broadband, but that's so important to have. You really need that if you want to work from home, particularly with all of this, you know, the video meetings. And I mean, I'm still not.
With Teams, Microsoft Teams, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
How do you find those? Because we've had a lot of candidates interviewed the last 24, you know, not 24 months, but the last 19, 20 months. A lot of the interviews have been conducted by, it started off with Zoom, and then obviously people got a little bit worried about the, you know, safety and, you know, the security behind Zoom. So then everyone was sort of adopted to Teams.
Yeah.
But it's so difficult as a candidate and a client to get a real sort of feel for one another. If you're doing it over, you know, over Teams, it's tricky. And but the way that I've seen it continue is that I've got a lot of law firms that have a head office in Melbourne, and they'll start the interview process over Teams, and then they'll have a face-to-face with someone on the ground here in Brisbane.
Yeah.
So it's got its benefits, but it's difficult to get a real sense of who somebody is or what the firm's culture is all about if you can't actually physically be there.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all start feeling that Zoom fatigue, I think they call it. Like I've certainly felt that at times.
Yeah.
And Yeah, just too many Zoom meetings and sitting in the same spot. And sometimes it might be more efficient to just pick up the phone, just have a quick chat with someone.
Yeah, I'd rather do that, to be honest.
A Zoom conversation with them.
Yeah. You've got your shirt there and then your pyjamas at the bottom.
Okay, yeah, that's the old newsreader trick, isn't it? Yeah. Right, okay. Louise and Anthony, this has been a great conversation.
Yeah, no problem.
Anything else before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I think we've covered, you know, our general feeling on things, you know, where it's going to be. I think the only thing that people aren't talking about, and it's a little bit of an elephant in a lot of rooms, is the vaccine mandate, you know, when that comes into effect, because there are law firms and accounting firms, they're all having to look at their policies. You know, there are going to be a minority of people that aren't comfortable with that. So, you know, that's going to be something, be interesting to see what happens.
That's interesting. So because we do have people who are well-educated and they're in professional jobs who might be against being vaccinated because they're worried, and I don't want to make any judgment about whether they're right or wrong, but they're worried about the – they've done that risk assessment for themselves and they think, actually, I'm better off not getting it.
Mm.
And the concern now is that, if a company imposes a vaccine mandate, then they may not be able to work there anymore. I mean, is that happening? We're seeing that?
We've had one situation.
Right, okay.
You know, obviously I can't sort of disclose, organisation. Yeah. But on the flip side of that, we've had an organisation come to us and say, look, we're struggling to get candidates. We've heard X, Y, and Z are going to be imposing a mandate. We will put our hands up for those people that aren't vaccinated.
Okay.
So that's interesting as well on the flip side of it.
Gee, it's a challenge if you're an employer because...
And it's challenging for us as recruiters because I read an article the other day and I'll share it with you. You know, are we allowed in the interview process to ask about whether you are vaccinated or not, because it will be seen as a discrimination sort of topic? So it's going to be an interesting 6 to 12 months.
Yeah. Well, I guess what everyone's worried about is the legal liability, okay? Yep. Well, what if I'm an employer and I don't have a vaccine mandate, and then someone gets sick from COVID and gets sick badly or dies, and then I'm subject to a lawsuit?
Yeah.
So, and with law firms, I mean, law firms are full of lawyers, so the lawyers are going to be thinking about this.
Yeah, yeah.
Say, so, let's just have a mandate, least resistance.
Yeah, it's tricky.
Okay, that is tricky. Righto, Louise Gibson and Anthony Burst from Remedy Recruitment, Remedy Resourcing in Brisbane, Australia. Thanks so much for your time.
No problems.
Thank you, Gene.
Okay, that's the end of this episode of Economics Explored. I hope you enjoyed it. If so, please tell your family and friends and leave a comment or give us a rating on your podcast app. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, you can feel free to send them to contact@economicsexplored.com and we'll aim to address them in a future episode. Thanks for listening. Until next week. Goodbye.